Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, broadcasting and video streaming live from our studios in New York City, and I welcome you. This is called Talk Back. It's one program a week with no guest, but you have an opportunity throughout the entire hour to call in and share your thoughts and questions, challenges, whatever you wish. Our number is 888-874-4888, 888-874-4888. And as always, I'll be sharing insights that I'm positive will give you a lot more information to live a longer and healthier life. I'm going to talk about all those scare tactics about, you know, you shouldn't be taking your vitamins because so many people are dying. Well, it's just not true. Also, we're always happy to find something new that we haven't tried before that can help our overall well-being. How about Guyabano? Guyabano? I'll tell you about it. Unhealthy snacks, they can up your cancer risk. And a University of Tennessee study predicts extreme climate throughout the eastern United States. From our public health segment, there's something new about genetic engineering that the government has not told us, and nor the genetic engineering companies have told us. But we have the newest information. Seems as though that inside that corn, soybean, milk, oranges, whatever you're eating, salmon, there could be a hidden viral gene. That's right. It's been discovered. So what does that mean? I'll deal with that. Also today, how hot is it going to get in the immediate future, like this year? I'll deal with that. And from our commentary today, from Washington Blog, I'm going to talk about who can we blame this time? We've given all the money in the world to the banks. I'll tell you how much. They, in turn, turn around and charge us usurious rates. If we can't pay it, they compound the interest, so we're in debt peonage. They then sponsor legislation that allows private corporations to arrest us and put us in private prisons and charge us additional money. So I'm asking a question, who do we blame? Shouldn't we look in the mirror and ask, can we get any dumber? I'll talk about that. I'm opposed to virtually everything that's being done right now in any public way on domestic and foreign policies. I think that we couldn't have a dumber, more greedy, self-serving group of individuals than the sleazebag politicians that occupy our state houses, our local boards, and our national government. Now, those are my own particular feelings, but I'm going to give you some specifics every day. I want to show you how much the war in Iraq cost. I'm going to show you how our infrastructure in America is collapsing and what it's going to cost. Now, I'm going to show you how much we're spending on just one single airplane, one single jet. You'll never believe it. Oh, by the way, and the jet can't fly in cloudy weather. And there's a whole lot of things jet can't do. We spend enough money on this one jet to fix most of our problems. So once again, who are we going to blame? The politicians that provide us with these boondoggle projects, the private corporations that are only too happy to put that money in their pocket? Or do we once again look in the mirror and say, can we get any dumber? I'll talk about that. Let's begin. I have seen an ongoing campaign for the past 30 years where about every 4 to 6 months they'll come out again and try to scare the public. It might be attacking vitamin C or telling you that a particular nutrient is not any good. That gets headlines. And then all the talking pundits on television say, see, you really don't have to take any of these supplements. And then, of course, when we actually look at the study, it either didn't say that, or it was so grossly flawed in its design that it had to have been done on intent. This is just the latest when they tell us how dangerous our vitamins are. This is from Orthomolecular News Service, as reported by GreenMedInfo. The new report, which is from the American Association of Poison Control Centers, shows zero, not one single death from multiple vitamins. That's right, no one's died. And so that is from the U.S. National Poison Data System. That's good. However, on the other side of that, what we see is that one of the largest causes of death are non-prescription drugs, just over-the-counter medication. For example, just one type of over-the-counter medication, aspirin, well, that killed over 26,000 people this past year alone. Several hundred thousand are dying from other drugs, but we don't see anyone saying maybe we shouldn't be taking them. How many are really needed? Do they really make a difference? Why are they so dangerous? So all that attacking against vitamins, no basis in truth whatsoever. I'm sure many people in this audience are taking goji berries, acai, mangosteen, wolf berries, pomegranate powders, and other superfruits. Let's add one more right now. It's called guaibano. Guy, G-U-Y, abano, A-B-A-N-O. It's also known as soursop. It's been around for a long time. Nutritionists who are in the know and want to help the person's body who has a defective immune system, or maybe someone with AIDS defining illnesses or autoimmune conditions, would certainly recommend soursop. And this fruit has been heavily researched. So what is it? It comes from the graviola tree. Its name is depending upon which country you're in. For example, in Brazil, it's called the pawpaw, P-A-W-P-A-W. Or in France, it's called the coursol, or soursop in English. Or the custard apple, also. And its scientific name is Annona, A-N-N-O-N-A, muricata, M-U-R-I-C-A-T-A. The graviola tree grows in tropical climates. It's very common in the Philippines and South America. They use it as a sedative. It's called a nervine or a nerve tonic. And it's very good for helping with intestinal health. But it does an awful lot also. And you can use the bark, the leaves, the root, the fruit, the seeds. They're all used for different natural medicines. It's been used to relieve stomach distress, pain, cough, asthma. It's rich in vitamin C, iron, and phytonutrients. But right now it's getting a lot of attention because it has cancer-preventing properties. And it can reduce the side effects of chemotherapy. There was one journal that showed that one chemical in the plant is 10,000 times more potent than a chemotherapy drug called adriamycin, but there's no side effects. The Catholic University of South Korea reports that the guaibano, or soursop, is not only a threat to cancer cells, but also leaves healthy cells alone. That's, of course, not the case, as we know, with chemotherapy, which kills all cells. And Purdue University found that the leaves from the guaibano tree, quote, killing cancer cells among six human cell lines. That's good. This is from PubMed. Quote, overall, the compounds that are naturally present in the graviola tree extract inhibited multiple signaling pathways that regulate metabolism, cell cycle, survival, and metastatic properties in PC cells. Collectively, alterations in these parameters led to a decrease in tumorigenicity and metastasis of the implanted pancreatic tumors. That's all good. Now, there's some other things it does as well. So if you want to help yourself, you can go into any health food store and get sour sop. That's S-O-P, sour, S-O-U-R, sop, S-O-P. It alleviates pain. If you have arthritis, it will help you. Back pains, rheumatism. It prevents urinary tract infections and is even higher than cranberry juice in this. It's very rich in vitamin C, which, as we know, can negate the harmful bacteria frequently that lines the urinary tract in the bladder. It's good for helping with migraines. It helps anemia. It's rich in iron. It prevents constipation. It's rich in fiber. It helps with bone health. It prevents leg cramps and boosts your energy level. It also is good for fever and if you're just lacking some energy. So that's our new food of the day. It is a superstar, just not known to most people. So write it down, Guy, G-U-Y, Abano, A-B-A-N-O, or also known as custard apple or sour sop. Unhealthy snacks, that's most of the snacks people consume, up your cancer risk. This is the latest. Here's what it says. And this is from a university, Wageningen University in the Netherlands. It says, loading up on snack foods can increase cancer risk in individuals with inborn susceptibility to colorectal cancer and other cancers. And the new study suggests that an eating pattern low in snack foods could help these individuals. So, here's the takeaway message. It's hard for people to give up their snack foods. How many times have you had a nice dinner and then went to a movie and you bought popcorn or snacks even though you had just eaten, maybe even came from a restaurant? Well, clearly you're not hungry and there's no more room in your stomach, but this is a conditioned response. So what do we do? Well, there's a couple things. What I do is I go to a movie with some friends every week. I just get some organic popcorn, put some Himalayan sea salt on it, and generally that's enough, but some people like a natural oil, and a delicious oil to put on it is coconut oil. But you choose your oil, and just take that to the movies with you. Or if you're at home, popcorn will not adversely affect sleeping patterns at night, and it can fill you up. In the daytime, there's just no better snack than an apple. It's just that simple. Crunchy apple is delicious and kills your appetite, but is not a bunch of empty calories. It's extremely nutritious. Also papaya and berries. I always have on my desk throughout the day, different berries. I wash them in the morning. Raspberries, blackberries, cherries, blueberries, and just have a whole, like a quart and container. And then whenever I'm hungry, just snack on the berries. Berries will not cause weight gain. They are extremely nutritious. Now that's a healthy snack. For people who want something maybe a little more chewy, well then how about taking some celery and having some hummus or baba ganoush? And I always spread lemon juice, a lot of lemon juice around, and stir it into the hummus or baba ganoush. A, that protects it. By the way, by spraying your apples and spraying your bananas with lemon juice, they're not going to turn brown on you immediately the way they would if you didn't. So it's a nice way of preserving your fruit. And yet, it doesn't overwhelm. It still allows you to enjoy the taste of the fruit. But having a snack by having some celery and with the hummus, again, it won't cause bloating. It's not going to cause excess calories. It's extremely, chickpeas are extremely nutritious. Just some ideas for you. Otherwise, you could end up with cancer. Now, from the environment, this is from the University of Tennessee. It says, from extreme drought to superstorms, many wonder what the future holds for the climate of the eastern United States. A study conducted by researchers at the University of Tennessee does away with the guessing. Results show the region will be hotter and wetter. And in fact, it's the highest degree of heat in over 50 years. And the heat waves will be more severe in most regions in the eastern United States. And at the same time, when it rains, you'll see more precipitation than what is normal. So what that means is it's bad news on both ends. Extreme drought means that we're going to be draining our water supplies. There's going to be a lot of contention over who controls the water. Remember about 4 years ago, there was so much drought that the Ohio River and other rivers that went south were being used by local municipalities, and there wasn't enough for all the states. And Atlanta only had about a week's worth of water before it went into severe water rationing. Georgia was running out of water. So, and then when you get all that rain, it doesn't help because it's flooding. So that's what's coming at us now, this year. Whenever I've done a retreat, and I've done hundreds and hundreds of retreats, or whenever I'm putting someone on an intervention program, or maybe they're overweight or have high blood pressure or elevated cholesterol or cancer, the one thing I don't do is I don't load them up with a lot of food. If anything, it's just the opposite. More nutrient-rich food, but having them drink their meals is much healthier, and having one primary meal a day, ideally in the afternoon. And if you're going to have a second meal, a small meal, you can have all the salad you want. You can eat the biggest salad you want. That's not going to be a problem for you. And you can have all the juices you want throughout the day. Most people, they max out at about a quart. Some people are really diligent. They'll take 2 quarts. And only when people are really sick, like with cancer or AIDS, will they take a gallon, which is really beneficial. And also learning portion sizes. People are always surprised at how little I eat. I think it was about a year and a half ago that during a fundraiser on our local sister station, WBAI, they said, why don't you offer dinner for people with you? Now, I used to have dinner back in the 1970s at my apartment for listeners as a fundraiser. And it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. We always had a great time. We'd have about, my table seated 12. We'd have 12 people. We'd take 3 or 4 hours. I would prepare the meal. I'd do 1 course at a time. And they were surprised because the courses were small, but at the end they were always full. And I just don't slop a bunch of food on a plate and say, there. But when I eat very small portions. I never eat large portions. First, because it's easier for the body to digest food. You get a greater digestion, ease of digestion. You don't get the bloating and gas and indigestion. You're getting more nutrients out of the food when you eat slowly, when you eat smaller portions. Take your time. Same way with a beverage. Instead of gulping down a beverage, if you had, let's say, 2 quarts, sip a little. An hour later, sip some more. An hour later, sip some more. Now, here in the studio, if you're watching this, you see I have a bottle of glass bottle, recyclable bottle of water. All right, it's pure spring water. I also filter my own water and load this up. So you take a drink. Not much, you know, just a mouthful. That's all you need. But if you do that throughout the day, you're hydrating all day long. So as your body is perspiring, and you're perspiring a lot through your feet. In fact, people don't realize you could lose about 2 quarts of water a day just through in what's called in profuse perspiration. And we're not, and we think because, oh, I just drank, you know, for about 30 seconds. No, drink throughout the whole day. Same way with juices. Here's the latest on what happens when you overindulge. This is important. This comes from Cambridge University. And it's the first one I've seen of this kind anywhere. This is in the British Medical Journal. Quote, activities like eating red meat, having a couple drinks, watching television, any time of year can each knock at least 30 minutes off of your life expectancy for every day you indulge. Whoa. That is a lot of time knocked off your life. In contrast, each day of sticking to just eating plenty of fruits and vegetables and exercising can add up to 2 hours to your daily life. Well, hooray for all of you, because I know that 99% of you are doing just that. You're eating your fruits and vegetables far more than what the average person around the world's doing. You're exercising because you know how important it is. You're doing your hour of aerobic a day, walking, biking, swimming, deep water running, whatever your body's capable of doing. You're getting your body mass index down. I know you're doing that. You're taking your blood pressure on a regular basis. You're taking your resting pulse. All that's important. How much effort is just to sit there? Look, you gently take three fingers. You hold it up to the outside of your, where your wrist bone is, and you can feel your pulse. Now you just count right there. You count to 60. My pulse is, I just had it done today because, we have a nurse that comes into the office on Sundays and counsels people. I get my blood pressure taken. It was terrific. Most people think it's too low. It's not. It's an athletic heart. Pulse rate between 47 and 52 beats per minute. Body mass index, meaning the total body percent of my fat, just at 4. Normally it's at 2.8. But because I've been on the road and I've been doing my heavy training, it's a 1 point up, which is fine. Total weight at 6'2", 187, which means I got a lot of muscle, very little fat. Watching cholesterol, all my markers, C-reactive protein, homocysteine, total cholesterol, viral loads, bacterial loads, I get everything done. I want to know. If I have a problem, I want to know. I can fix any problem that I could have. But I don't guess. Now, here's a question. What's your resting pulse rate? When was the last time you took it? What's your blood pressure? What's your blood sugar? What's your homocysteine up? Now, I know some of you are getting more than the fruits and vegetables that you would even need. In a normal American diet, you're getting the super healthy diet. I mean, the really great healthy diet. So let's say if the average person could add 2 hours a day to your lifespan, those of you taking your compounding fruit and vegetable powders, you could be averaging 5 hours per day added on to your life expectancy. How about that? But those of you who are just overindulging in snack foods and French fries and all the bad stuff, you're taking 30 minutes a day off your lifespan per day. How much is that per week? Well, 30 times 7, 2 hours and 10 minutes, times 52 weeks. Wow. And there it goes. So that's an important... That's a very important indicator. Also, quote, using data from population studies, averaged over a lifetime habit, a microlife can be lost by being 5 kilograms overweight. That's about 12 pounds. and watching television for 2 hours a day or eating a hamburger? What if you watched television 2 hours a day and ate a hamburger and you were 12 pounds overweight? Well, then you better live tomorrow like you don't have another day, because you may not. And that's published in the British Medical Journal. Squeezing breasts can stop the growth of cancer cells. This is interesting. This has to do with the, and this was in the Journal of the American College of Surgeons, and it's all about lymphatic fluid and what that means. And I'm going to go more into that, because I'm going to get the author of this on. I think that's important. We haven't done a program on lymphatic drainage and why brawls are dangerous, because the brawl, tight brawls and sports brawls, they're not allowing your lymph glands, especially around the armpits and around the breast, to drain. And it's in that drained fluid that a lot of toxins, bacteria and viruses and dead cancer cells are going out of the body. So what they meant by squeeze is light massage. So I'll go into that. And finally, psychiatry to label entire families with a mental disorder. Quote, from Mike Bundrat, Natural News, in a stunning display of ignorance, researchers attempt to create a mental diagnosis that can be applied to entire families at once. Quote, parental alienation disorder. What is that? And they had supporters in the pharmaceutical company lobbying heavily for this. I guess you lobby for diseases that do not exist, because, of course, there's going to be a drug to treat it. Parental alienation disorder supposedly happens when parents engage in the common but unfortunate attempt to reprimand children when you have multiple children in a family. And so, how about that? Eating deep fried food linked to increased risk of prostate cancer, from Science Daily. Regular consumption of deep fried foods such as French fries, fried chicken, and donuts is associated with an increased risk of prostate cancer, and the effect appears to be slightly stronger with regard to more aggressive forms of the disease. This was done at the Fred Hutchinson Cancer Research Center. Now, we've been mentioning for a long time that when you cook food at high temperatures, you end up getting heterocyclic amines and polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons. These are chemicals formed when meat is cooked. Or aldehyde, which is a compound found in perfume, and acrolein, which is a chemical found in herbicides. All this stuff becomes very toxic. So when you're eating deep-fried foods, you're putting yourself at risk of cancer. I'm Gary Nall, back in a moment, and then I'll start taking your calls. Our number on our TalkBack program is 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Back in a moment. Nice to have you with us, everyone. I'm Gary Nall, broadcasting live from our studios in New York City. Time for your calls now, and I'm going to get to as many as I can. One question only, please, or one statement only. Let's start with Eric from New Jersey. Hi, Eric.
Hey, Gary. How are you?
Good.
Could you help, please, share your protocol for reversing pre-diabetic, sugar levels around 100, 105.
Sure. Well, those are up to almost diabetic. You're at 105. You got to be very careful. That's at diabetic levels. Several things. First, eat smaller amounts of food. Don't overeat at one meal. Have smaller meals, but more frequently. Have a protein shake 3 times a day. That will help stabilize your blood sugar. Also, make sure you put some coconut oil in the shake. Have some coconut to chew on, the dry coconut. Walnuts, pistachios, almonds, cashews, they're great for you also. Have a salad with avocado in it. Olives in it. Olives and avocado maintain a normal blood sugar level. So easy to do. Lots of water, and you got to exercise, Eric. Almost always it's the exercise that's the missing component. Then the nutrients, top of my list for pre-diabetic conditions to help insulin resistance would be alpha-lipoic acid, about 1,000 milligrams twice a day. And that will help also with peripheral nerve damage in diabetics and helps to control blood sugar. Then chromium in the form of picolinate and about 600 micrograms. That's very important because it helps improves insulin efficiency. Then garlic, and I'm suggesting garlic 3 times a day, 2 to 3,000 milligrams. Or what would be if it were liquid garlic, aged liquid garlic, 1 teaspoon, 4 times a day. One of the most important nutrients to have to metabolize fat, to reduce the cravings of sugar, would be L-carnitine, carn, C-A-R-N, itine, I-T-I-N-E. Now, L-carnitine is great for the heart, it's great for AFib, it's great for strengthening your heart muscle and giving it energy. I would say 1,000 milligrams twice a day. Glutamine and taurine, both very important, 500 milligrams a day. Quercetin, I'm going to say quercetin 5 times a day, 1,000 milligrams. At the same time, you have 2,000 milligrams of vitamin C. I would put in 100 milligrams of B-complex with extra B12, which would be about a 1 milligram from methylated B12. Also coenzyme Q10, generally 300 milligrams from ubiquinol, 3 times a day, magnesium, 1,000 milligrams a day, and also, let's not us forget, the maitake mushroom, a bean pod tea, and eat more beans. Kidney beans, lentils, black-eyed peas, navy beans, soybeans, all good for you. Or they're pâtés or dips. All right, that'll get you started. All the best to you, Eric. Let's say hello to Barbara in Florida. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Gary. I'd like to ask you if amino acids compete at all for absorption. Do we need to, when we supplement, do we need to take them separately?
No, everything competes for absorption. Everything. And that's why I've suggested repeatedly that the best absorption is to eat slowly, fully masticate your food. Remember that the stomach does not have teeth. So the more that you chew your food, and you chew it slowly, because every time you mechanically chew the food, two little holes underneath your tongue are allowing amylase and ptyalin, two enzymes, to come out that break down complex starches into simple sugars. And that's what you want. They break down a polysaccharide into a monosaccharide. Then make sure that you're not drinking. I never drink a liquid with my meal unless it's a soup or a juice, which in case I do that alone, and always have your soup first. Have your soup at the beginning of a meal, and then give it a little bit of time so it gets in and gets digested. Same thing with the juice. Always have your juice before you eat, and or wait until about an hour afterwards. So if I have a plate, let's say I have brown rice and beans and some starchy vegetables, sea vegetables, and a salad, I'm not going to have any beverage with that. Now later, I will have a beverage, maybe an herbal tea or a juice that would be good. And if you're going to have a juice, have a juice that allows the enzymes in the juice to facilitate better digestion, which in this case would be, I would do, like pineapple and papaya. That would be your two best natural fruits to put into a post-meal enzyme to help digestion. Now, the less food that's in the stomach, the better its digestion. The better the digestion going into the intestine, the more absorption you're going to get. So it's just that simple, okay? And when you're taking your protein shake, you're taking a concentrate of amino acids. And the amino acids, because they're in the shake, don't have to be broken down the stomach. They don't have to be liberated from some food. They are already liberated. Hence the power of a shake in the morning. All right, big smoothie. Hope that helps you, Barbara.
Thank you.
All the best to you. And let's say hello to Scott from North Carolina. Hi, Scott.
Gary, is there any protocol as far as chelation or any kind of detoxification program one can go through to purge strontium, barium, and aluminum, the three toxins they use in chemtrails?
I would do a combination of oral chelation, your green vegetable juices, with a heavy emphasis upon chlorella, spirulina, and wheatgrass juice. Those are your three most powerful. I would then eat sunflower sprouts and have sunflower sprout blended with broccoli sprouts with vitamin C. Cabbage juice is very good. In fact, it's excellent. And one of the best is blue, red, or black pure grape juice. I would then augment that with both suppository chelation tablets and intravenous chelation, where they can monitor the urine and check to see which heavy metals and at what level you're being able to excrete them, so you can then have a balance so you don't run a risk of over-chelating. That's what I would do. All the best to you.
Thank you.
Let's say hello to John. Well, who do we got here? We have Paula from Florida. Hi, Paula.
How are you?
Doing great.
Very good. A question pertaining to my husband. He developed an eye floater this past week. I went up online and I found some info on bilberry and red tea. Can you give me any other suggestions to help get this to go away?
The free form amino acid complex and glutathione, reduced glutathione, and N-acetylcysteine.
Okay.
OcuCare, OcuCare, from Nature's Plus, and OcuGuard.
Okay, I actually have that already. I started giving it to him yesterday.
Good.
Okay.
Also, vitamin A emulsion. And I would up the vitamin C with quercetin substantially, and then I would take bayberry bark. I would take internally cayenne because the capsicum,
mm-hmm.
and red raspberry leaves by mouth.
Okay. How about MSM eye drops?
Yeah, eye drops are fine.
Okay.
And you can get visualized from Source Naturals for that.
Mm-hmm. Another brand. Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
All the best, Paula from Florida. Let's say hello to Paul from New Jersey. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Gary. On last Sunday's show, you talked about protecting yourself from the radiation from flights by taking vitamin C every hour. And my question is, can you apply vitamin C to the radiation from a CAT scan, and how much will it... How much will it protect you?
They're two different things completely.
No, I understand that.
From a CAT scan, it depends upon what's being scanned, how long the body was scanned, how many x-rays were taken. You have to do your calculation. For that, I would immediately go in and get high-dose intravenous vitamin C, anywhere from 50 to 100,000 milligrams each day for at least 3 weeks.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Good. John from the Bronx. Hi, John.
How are you?
Good.
Gary, I just have a quick question for you. Essentially, I just want to know what the best anti-cancer foods and supplements were.
Well, your best high cancer foods would be your cruciferous vegetables. There's no question about that. The scientific literature is replete with thousands of studies at this point, cumulatively, that broccoli, cauliflower, kale, asparagus, dandelion greens, mustard, also curcumin and the curcuminoids, like turmeric. Now, some people just take turmeric powder. Others take curry powder. I wouldn't do that. Even that's what they'll use in India, because we now know that it's not the powder itself. It's what's inside the powder as a fraction of the powder. And it's the curcuminoids, which are in curcumin. So if you take the active ingredient in curcumin, that is one of the best single things you can take. Also, indole-3-carbinol, the mushroom complex, shiitake mushrooms, eating a plate of sautéed shiitake mushrooms each day with garlic in it, and lots of garlic, the amount of garlic I eat. In fact, there's one restaurant in my near my home. When I go out to eat, I'll take, for example, I'll take my own brown rice organic pasta. Or I'll take some organic potatoes, but they'll make the potatoes the way I like them. Now, it takes time, but I don't mind. If I'm going out to dinner, I like to sit there and relax. I like to look at the sunset. I like to, you know, in fact, I'll put my meal order in, then I'll go down to the beach and go for a walk on the beach. Then I come back. The time I come back, it's all there, the sauce I like. And I have very specific instructions. I don't want this sauce cooked any hotter than your finger can go in it. Why is that? Well, first of all, that's how hot sauces are cooked in authentic Italian cuisine. So the nutrients are maintained at their highest level. They're not destroyed. Secondly, it makes the sauce sweeter. Now, if I told you how much garlic I eat, you wouldn't believe it. In fact, one of the waiters says, you're the strange fellow that likes the garlic with some extra food. Yeah. The minimum amount of garlic I eat when I'll go out to a restaurant is a half a cup. That's the minimum. But I can go for a lot more than that, too. And I like mine very thinly. Did you ever see the movie Goodfellow when they were in prison and they were chopping the onion with a razor blade? That's how I like the garlic. And that's when it's sweetest the oil, extra virgin olive oil, it's just barely heated, and the garlic will turn translucent. That's when it's sweet and delicious. So the more garlic that you can get in your body, the better it is to kill cancer. And so it's a superstar, but so is broccoli and broccoli sprouts. And all the sprouts are anti-cancer, especially the daikon sprouts, radish sprouts, onion sprouts. Those are your best sprouts for cancer. And then mustard. Good old American mustard. One of the best things you can eat. Yeah, I take a big, thick... In fact, my daughter Shelley, I just took her to a Broadway show last night. It stunk. Well, for me it did. I'm sure the other people in the theater loved it. I won't tell you because I don't want to talk badly about it, because it's my own subjective opinion. It's just that I come from that school that believes that if you're going to be given the honor of being up on stage in front of a large audience every night, and they're laying out some serious money. I always get the twofers, you know, you get them for half price. But still, it was, you know, $60 each. That's not, you know, $120 two tickets, and I usually leave, so I gotta be a little careful. But I like it when they actually train, when they're classically trained, when they've spent those hours with those coaches, the historic great ones, HB Studio, Herbert Bergdorf, and Uta Hagen, a handful of the finest drama teachers in America. And that was common during the 1940s and 50s and 60s and 70s. And now it's not common. Now you just have to be a celebrity. And as long as you're a celebrity, people are coming to the play because they want to see you, the movie star. And then you get the Scarlett Johansson, who gets up there in Cat in a Hot Tin Roof, can't act at all. with a phony Southern accent, no chemistry, mocking movements around a stage. And people go, oh, isn't that lovely? Well, compared to what? Watching two feral cats mate in an alley? Maybe, but outside of that, not the worst price of admission. It's like watching Matthew Broderick trying to sing or dance. Can't do either. So they design a cast to accommodate him who don't sing and don't dance. Poor choreography. Now watch another play out there, a Cole Porter play or George Gershwin play from the 1930s where you had some great music and you had some great singing and dancing. You go to see the two different plays, both then in the 1930s, and you think, wow, what a difference in singing, the humor, the choreography. Yeah, because one, they were classically trained. The other, they're not. It's just a movie star who adapts. But that's what we do in America. We adapt. You know, and we don't realize what a big step down is to adapt. This person last night couldn't act at all. Everything was just so over the top, exaggerated. I just, you know, anyhow, that's beside the point. Back to your question, John, from the Bronx. When I'm making a sandwich and I was up, my daughter makes our sandwiches. And I said, just start making super-sized sandwiches. Why? Well, a simple reason, I said, because a lot of people are in limited budgets. And if you give them a huge sandwich and you cut it in half, they'll have half of that for lunch, and the other half they could have tomorrow for lunch or for dinner. Well, what am I going to supersize it with? Well, how about a big tomato? Now, of course, there's all this organic. And how about a lot of sprouts, sunflower sprouts, and alfalfa? How about a lot of microgreens? How about some extra? And then you start realizing coleslaw, things you put on a sandwich. But I love taking a tomato with a beautiful big piece of sweet onion and put that on what is called sprouted bread. It's a gluten-free bread made from sprouts is the bread. And then you put a slice of avocado. You put a grilled shiitake mushroom, lightly grilled, and then you baste that in mustard. I put a mustard on top of the tomato. Then I put a different mustard on top of the onion. I put a different mustard on top of the portobello. And then you put some Himalayan sea salt. You put some cayenne pepper, and you put black pepper. Wow. Does that ever taste delicious? And you cover it with lettuce. And man, you just, that's a happy sandwich to eat. But mustard is good for you. It's great for you. It's a healer. So it's a keeper. Then the nutrients, definitely at the top of the list would be vitamin C. Then I would definitely put indole-3-carbinol. That's what you get when you have broccoli. The D fraction of the maitake mushroom and vitamin D, and the definitely with cancer to prevent it, and if you have cancer, would be 3 times a day a teaspoon of black cumin seed oil. Black cumin seed oil. All right? That also, by the way, that's good for eyes, turns off inflammation in the eyes, turns off inflammation in the brains. I'm going to get them this week. I want you to see what's possible in 4 weeks. Because I've had something really unusual happen in the last 4 weeks. I'm only back in the city a couple of days. I've been on the road for 10 weeks. And some really interesting filming. You'll be seeing this shortly, the results of it. But one of those things happened where a lot of people coalesced who needed interventions, emergency interventions. In fact, even after our show, I have to go for 3 separate interventions and within the next 3 hours. And in all cases, all of these people have reversed their disease. And some, we were told, you just can't do it. It's just not possible. Well, I'm going to have all these people on so you can hear the stories yourself. But the very advice that I just gave you, John, is where we start the journey. Get rid of all the garbage. No more sugar, artificial sweeteners, coffee, soft drinks, candy, breads, pastas, meat of any kind, no cheeses, and start eating healthy. All the best to you, John.
Thanks a lot, Gary. Appreciate it.
Lou Ann Panessi. By the way, we'll take one more call from people in the audience. We've gone through those. 888-874-4888. I'm going to save my other commentaries for tomorrow's show. But let's say hello to Lou Ann Panessi now. Hi, Lou Ann.
Hello, Gary.
By the way, I didn't mention this. I do want to mention this. Quote, regulators discover a hidden viral gene in commercial GMO crops. This is from Jonathan Latham and Allison Wilson from biotechnology.com. Quote, how should a regulatory agency announce they have discovered something potentially very important about the safety of products they've been approving for over 20 years? In the course of analysis to identify potential allergens in GMO crops, the European Food Safety Authority has belatedly discovered that the most common genetic regulatory sequence in commercial GMOs also encodes a significant fragment of a viral gene. The finding has serious ramifications for crop biotechnology and its regulation, but possibly even greater ones for consumers and farmers. This is because there are clear indications that this viral gene, called gene 6, might not be safe for human consumption, and also may disturb the normal functioning of crops, including their natural pest resistance. And it says what Potvin and DeJardin discovered is that the 86 different transgenic events, which are unique insertions of foreign DNA, commercialized to date in the United States, 54 contain portions of gene 6 within them. And they include any with a widely used gene regulatory sequence called the CMMV35S. So here's my thought. We weren't told this. Nobody was told this. You were told that genetically engineered food and organic food are virtually the same. There's no difference. Well, that's not true. I was recently in San Francisco, and I filmed for a new documentary coming up, Professor Bruce Lipton, and he was emphatic. Now, mind you, he is one of the foremost molecular biologists in the world, and he said, when I asked him, if we're eating a salmon or some other food that has the virus from one species and a bacteria from another, how do we know that that won't impact our genome, become a part of our gene, our cells? We're told that it won't go into our own genes. He said, it could absolutely do that. There's no law of science that said that what you eat would not become a part of your own DNA. And anyone who's telling you otherwise is lying to you. So now we're saying, well, gee whiz, when you start looking at they're using mouse genes and snake genes and frog genes, does that mean that that could impact our own genes? The answer is yes. But because no one's doing any studies on it, I don't want our bodies to end up as an Andromeda strains. I don't want us to find out 5 years or 10 years from now when rare forms of cancer happen. Oh, well, we didn't think it was important. Oh, we identified the corporations doing it and the scientists doing it. So there's no one you can sue. It's just too bad. Live with it. So I'm saying do not eat any genetically modified foods, commercially modified foods at all, because you cannot trust any of your regulatory agencies. They're liars, and they're there at the behest of the manufacturers, not our health. Your comment, Luambi, because we're coming up at the end of the show.
Well, what's to say? I mean, that's a mouthful.
Any other questions? Many of
the only question I have here from a listener is they're asking your opinion on the situation that we have with North Korea that seems to be getting more and more inflammatory by the day.
Look, North Korea would charge South Korea with slingshots and BB guns. I mean, this is one of the most stupid rationales for building another base and putting nuclear arms in that area of the world. North Korea does not represent a clear and present danger to the United States, and anyone who has any understanding of tactical weapons knows that. You know, they've been doing this childish nonsense of making threats, and they can't feed their own population. Their technology is obsolete, and everything they do is monitored in any case. But it's just one more rationalization for putting billions of dollars of someone's weaponry somewhere in that area of the world. And it's this is what how we do it. We have to justify someone's a threat. The next thing you know, they'll be hearing that the Bloods in the, up in the Bronx are representing a clear and present threat to the United States, and they'll put nukes in the Bronx. These people are real idiots. Nothing like overreaction. Thanks a lot, Luann. We're out of time. I want to thank you all for listening, and have a wonderful day.